Galatians 6:7 is the springboard where we start off, but the second part of the seed, which we talked about last week, is entitled The Growing of the Seed. Last week we said that in Genesis 1:12 it says this, that the earth brought forth vegetation, plants, yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. So God created a full-grown a man. He didn't create a baby. He created a man. And out of the man, of course, came the woman, and both of them are able to create a baby through the seed of a man. A man comes out after his own kind. A monkey doesn't come out. A plant doesn't come out. But the seed of man brings the seed of a human being. And so in that same principle, He also created vegetation. And out of that vegetation, for instance, let's say an orange tree, the seed of an orange tree is going to produce an orange tree. The seed of a corn is going to bring corn. And so it's that law that God has created in the natural. He also created that law in the spiritual. So the seed of God is Jesus Christ, according to Galatians 3:15 or 16, and Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The seed of the woman will crush Satan's head. And then again, as I said, in Galatians 3:16, it talks about Jesus being that seed. So if you're using that same logic, the seed has to come from the tree. The seed of Jesus is divinity. He came from divinity. So if the tree is divinity, which is God, the Trinity, so is the seed. So the seed, Jesus Christ, is 100% divine, 100% God. There's not an ounce of him being less than God. And yet, he's 100% man. It's called the incarnation. It's a mystery that we can't understand. 100% God and 100% man. So that seed, when you accepted Jesus Christ, is in you. Now that seed is going to bear fruit after who it is. He's divine, he's God. So his seed in us is going to bear fruit of his nature. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. So we have that seed of God in us, which is Jesus Christ. The Word of God also says that the seed is called the Word of God. In Luke chapter 8, verse 11, it talks about how the sower sowed seed on different soils. Three of the soils didn't produce the fruit. One soil did. But he explains that the seed that was thrown on the soil of the hearts of men and women is the Word of God. So the seed is not only Jesus Christ himself, but it's the Word of God. This book here, the Holy Bible, the Scriptures, is the very breath of God. It's not something man made up. And so I encourage you to understand that the Scriptures, the Bible, is not just something that was put together that you could take or leave. It truly is the Word of God. And when you put that seed of the Word of God in your heart through obedience, through faith, through perseverance, it's going to bear fruit of God, of who God is. Now, how many of us want to be more like Jesus Christ? Come on, right? Think about it. He is the most gentlest yet firmest, most real person that ever walked the face of the earth. He came for the sinners. He came for us. And yet he's God Almighty. And so as we journey, we need to know how to water that seed. You could have seed and never plant it. We'll talk about that. Or you could have seed and plant it in the wrong soil of our hearts and it won't grow. The weeds will choke it out. Or you could have the seed of God's word that you put in your mind, but you don't water it. You know, when I plant my vegetables every spring, if the rain doesn't come on a regular basis, I have to take out the hose and I water it. If you don't, it'll die. It's the same thing with any fruit. If you don't water it, it dies. It's the same thing with a love affair. If you don't water that marriage, it's going to die. If you don't water the word of God in your life, it'll wither. So when we read seed, we understand that there's two types of seed in the Bible. Bad seed, good seed. Good seed is the word of God. Bad seed are the tares, which are counterfeit looking. They look like they belong to Christ. They look like wheat. Wheat in the Bible represents God's people. But they're tares. They look a lot until finally it grows, and then you can notice, wow, that's not from God. But the seed that God plants through his word, through you acting on it by faith, will produce the fruit of God in your life. It'll change you. Galatians 6:7 tells us of the two types of seed that we sow in our lives, throughout our lives, whether we're Christians or not. But it says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this will he also reap. For the one who sows seed, that is, to his flesh, will from his flesh reap corruption. Why is that? After its own kind. Seed of flesh, which is sin and ugliness, is going to eventually reap a harvest of it. It's not just going to stay as a seed, but it's going to multiply itself in your life, and you're going to be worse off. Can we get that up on the screen, or no? Is it? Oh, it's behind me. I got a screen in front of me, but I can't. There's nothing on it, but that's fine. The seed of the Spirit, he says, for the one who sows to his flesh will from his flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows in the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So you have a choice. You and I have a choice of how much of God you want in your life. You reap what you sow. If you reap sparingly, you sow. You reap. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. But there is an acronym that I'd like you to see of the word Bible. You spell Bible B-I-B-L-E. The B stands for basic instruction before leaving earth. Basic instruction before leaving earth. The Bible is our instructions before we leave this earth. We're all going to leave one day by the rapture or in a pine box, if it's a box or whatever. But we need to understand, how do we live our lives? I mean, why are we here on this earth? Is it just to get a house, a home, have a family? Is it to be successful? Is that the reason why we're created? No, you're created for a lot more than that. You're created for eternity. You're created for God. You're created for things that are beyond what this world can offer. But we sow seeds during our life. And sometimes those seeds come to fruition faster than other seed. But when you sow the seed of God's word into your life with obedience, perseverance, and honesty, with an honest and good heart, with perseverance, it bears fruit. That's really a good word, to be honest. Can we be, as they say, brutally honest to where it hurts you? Well, if you're honest to God, and someone asks you a question, I try to live by that rule. That's what I want to please God, not man. You've heard me say it different times when I came out of prison, and I would go for a job interview. Okay, so where were you the last couple of years? Well, I could skate around the fact, well, I was in jail. You see, I wasn't ashamed, nor was I fearful, because I knew if God wanted me there, he would get me that job. So I was living for God and not for fear or for man. I was being brutally honest. I hope you can do that too, because if you're honest, you can be humble, and you could say, God, I'm doing this for you, and God will reward you. So that's a seed of honesty. It may hurt at the time, But it's going to bear fruit because you're doing it for the Lord. The other day I was in the in the fruit store buying some pepperoni. How many like pepperoni, right? He was slicing it up, and my wife picks on that all the time if I buy it. She opens the refrigerator, you know. Anyway, so he gave it to me, and I said, okay, good. And I seen some fried shrimp on the counter, little shrimp fried. I said, oh, yeah, let me get some of that. $9.99 a pound. So I said, well, give me a half a pound. So he fills it into a container, and I'm bringing it to the counter. And, you know, it has on the lid, but it says $2.99 a pound. And I said, wow, this is wrong. It's cheap. I got it now. But I went back, went to the counter. No glory to me. Trust me, I'm just telling you. You know, you have a choice. You could, you know, well, that's money I'm getting over. That's good for me. Or is God watching? And I'd rather do it for God. Go back, here's the count. Hey, this is you put it on the wrong poundage. Oh, what? Nine? Oh, okay. Okay. And he put the right one on. But, you know, we're faced with honesty all of our days. But if you're honest to God, to live for him, those are seeds. And they come back and they grow. Can I get an amen? But you'll always have a choice to direct your life on what kind of fruit you want in your life. You know, there was a story that I read about of Nike. When this slogan came out through an advertising firm for Nike sneakers. And does anyone know what that slogan is? All right. We all know it. Just do it. And the first commercial, 1988, the first commercial came out, and it showed, it was a short one, 20 seconds, whatever, it showed this older man. He was 80 years old, showed him jogging with shorts and his bare chest. And he says, I like to jog. I jog 17 miles every day. I said, whoa. And then they zoom down to his sneakers. And then the word flashes, just do it. And from 1988, the statistics read to 1999, I wrote it down. They were making $87 million worldwide a year. But after that slogan, it went up to $9.2 billion. Success just springboarded the Nike sneaker. Not that it was any better, but it was the slogan, just do it. So there's a truth to that when it comes to sowing seed in our life. Just do it. Don't wait for the right person in your life. Well, I'm going to be happy when I get a man or a woman in my life as a marriage. No. Just be happy now. Just serve God now. Ecclesiastes tells us in 11:4, he who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. So, you know, you could never sow seeds of witnessing. Well, I can't witness. Sow a seed of witness. Tell someone on your job. Tell someone in your school. Tell someone somewhere. You could sow seeds of godly conversation. Person may be talking all kinds of real stuff, and you could sow a seed. Yeah, you know, I guess we're all sinners, huh? And right away, we're all sinners. I'm talking about Joe Moe from Idaho. He's the sinner. No, we're all sinners. And so you're sowing the seed of the Word of God to help that person understand that they need salvation. There could be the seed of commitment. I'll tell you how that works so much in your favor. When I first came to the Lord, and many of you can bear witness to your own life, but I'm just saying this so that maybe it'll encourage you. And I was a steel worker, not dealing, you know, but an iron worker. And I worked in Manhattan, very lucrative job. My father was an iron worker, and he passed it down to me and got me into the union. And they were making crazy money, but there were some crazy people in there too, and you had to do some crazy beam walking at times too, but that's all behind me now. But I had a helmet, hard hat, put it on, it was a cross, and my initials is JC. So on that cross, I had JC. And there was a brother there. He was just a new believer then. He was an apprentice. And I came up to him and I said, hey, Rick, we're going to have a Bible study on our lunch break. Right across the street. I was working on a Marriott hotel at the time. And he tells me afterwards that that very hour, that very day when he was walking on the steps, I remember, he said, oh, God, help me. I need strength. I need fellowship. And that very day, I came up to him and said, hey, we're going to have a Bible. I didn't know him from Adam or Eve. I didn't know if he was saved or not. I just knew he was a person, and I invited him. I put seed out there, and he responded. Now he's a pastor. Go figure, right? Down in Mechanicsville, Virginia. So when we talk, we laugh a lot. So anyway, we would talk about our days back then. But anyway, he said, yeah, he said, when you came up to me and invited me, he said, I didn't know if you were this way or that way. He said, you know what I mean. He said, I didn't know if you were hitting on me or not. But when I invited him to the Word of God, it eased his heart, eased his mind. But those are seeds, you see. You got to plant seeds. If you just wait until it's the perfect time of sharing your testimony, you wait for the perfect time of being honest, you could be waiting and waiting and waiting, and you'll never bear fruit. You'll never have the fruit of Christ in your life, the transformation that takes place. There are seeds of humility that you have to plant. We have altar calls. We have prayer meetings. Well, you know, I don't need prayer. But if you're really honest, you would say to yourself, who am I kidding? I need some prayer in this area. I'm not the best I can be. I got some issues in my life. If you're really honest, can we all raise our hand and say that's true? I mean, if there's anyone perfect in here, I must say you're probably, you know, the Lord himself, right? Because nobody is perfect. But when you plant seeds of humility and you say, no, God, I'm going to plant the seed and be honest and come up for prayer. Or it might be a seed of separation. Again, back in my days, and I do it today as well, you love the sinner, but you hate the sin. So, you know, at different times, I mean, people who aren't saved, they could be really funny. Can I get an amen to that? I mean, they can have some jokes that you're like, oh, man, I better not laugh at that one, you know, because you don't want to be a partaker of it. So there were times when the men would gather around the fire, you know, on lunch break, whatever. Back then it was loose, and you'd have a big barrel, 55-gallon drum, and put wood in there and they'd fire it up. And, you know, the conversation would go all over the map. And, you know, I want camaraderie. You know, these guys I work with. But I knew if I didn't separate myself, I would be partaking of their coarse jokes or partaking of their way, womanizing or drinking, and I didn't want that. Now, I could stay there for a bit and try to drop a seed of God's word there, but there's a time and place for everything. I knew I needed to separate. I had to do that with my old friends when I first came to the Lord. I had good friends that I love. A lot of them are gone now. But I had to make a choice. I had to plant the seed of separation. And say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. These guys that I love and my old lifestyle that I've lived and made my values all my life, and there's a connection with your old friends. There's a connection that's really close to you, and you feel, I can't do that. I love them too much. But you understand that if you plant seeds to love God, it's not like you're hating them, but if anything, you're giving them opportunity to see there's a difference and maybe get saved. Because that's the goal of our lives. We're all going to meet the Lord. So you start planting seeds of separation and seeds of having godly friends. I started going to church, built a whole new life with the seeds of obedience, knowing what I wanted in life. I wanted to please Jesus. There's a principle of seed growth. In 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, it says this. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. That's the law. Put in one seed, that's what you're going to get, one crop. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully, God's law. And in verse 10, it says, now he who supplies seed, that he is God, to the sower, that's you and I, and bread for food, he'll supply our needs, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You see, God gives us stewardship of seed, what he's given you, skill, talent, money, in this case it's talking about. But he's given you all seed. God has shown mercy to you. That's the seed of mercy that you received. Now, if you start giving that seed out, if you're cheap with that seed of mercy, I can't have mercy for that person. Well, that's going to come back to you. You'll feel less merciful from God when it's your turn to need mercy. That's the law. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. To the degree and standard that you show mercy, so mercy will come back to you. To the degree that you sow seeds of working for God's kingdom, he's going to give you more so that you can have more of a harvest. He's not going to give us more if we're not being a faithful steward in the little things he's given us. Why would he give us more? That's what he tells us. So the principle is, if you give a little bit, you'll reap a little bit. If you give a little bit spiritually, you'll reap a little bit spiritually. But if you go in wholeheartedly and you say, no, I'm going to give us unto the Lord, not tithing only, though that's part of it, I believe. God is not going to. But listen to what he says here in Luke 8:38. It says the same principle. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. For by your standard of measure, it'll be measured to you in return. When you give to the Lord, you'll get back what you give, but you'll also get more. Because it tells us here that it's going to be good measure, pressed down and shaken together. Did you ever buy a bag of potato chips? Yeah. And, you know, some chips in the bag, you just seem like, hey, there's only about 10 in this bag. You know, and so you look for a fuller bag, right? And you shake it. Wow, this one's got enough in there. That's what I do. I don't know about you guys. You're more perfect, I know. But when it's pressed down, shaken together, and running over, you got a full bag of chips. Now, you could pay 10 cents for a bag of chips and just get a little bit like that, 6 ounces. But if I look around, it'll say 6 ounces, but it seems like a lot more than 6 ounces to me. It's the same thing when you give to the Lord. You're going to get back what you put, but he's going to give you more even. But the standard of what you give out will come back to you to that measure as well. Another scripture, you could write it down, that backs up this truth of reaping, of sowing and reaping by the standard you give. Proverbs 11, 24. There is one who scatters and he increases all the more. And there's one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. You give in prayer, someone's going to be praying for you. You water someone for prayer, someone's going to be praying for you. You teach, you're going to be watered by being taught, because when you start teaching, you're going to be taught yourself. You start giving in worship, and guess what? You start receiving worship of God in your own life. He who waters will himself be watered. But unfortunately, what we do is we wait. Lord, water me. He says, I'll water you, but first you got to water someone else. That's his principle. Give, and it shall be given unto you. The law of sowing and reaping. One who scatters himself all over, and he's generous, and he has it all. Someone else, nah, I got to hold on to it, and there's only going to be want. The next point is how Jesus put it, of the law of sowing and reaping. In Matthew 16, 24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So what does that mean? Deny himself of living for the world. Deny himself of living for himself. Pick up his cross. A cross is not a symbol, you know. Sometimes we put a cross on our chest, and it may be a gaudy golden cross, a big cross. But we haven't learned to die to self. It's an ornament. You may get a big tattoo. I'm not against that. But if you're not dying to self, it's just for show. Well, yeah, I'm a Catholic. Born a Catholic, die a Catholic. Do you go to church? Nah, I don't trust them priests. So, I'm a Protestant. You know, I listen to the preacher. Oh, I love his sermon. Do you practice it? It's like wearing a cross. Do you practice it? Can I get an amen? You see, Jesus is real. So you got to plant seeds of denying yourself, putting yourself first, putting others ahead of you for the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to say, if you do that, whoever wishes to save his life, that is, you live for yourself, you live for the world, you're going to lose your life. But whoever loses his life for my sake, Jesus says, you're going to have life. You're going to find life. You see, that's how it works. God is opposite. The world will say, be number one. The world will say, no, put yourself first. Jesus says, no, put yourself last. The world says, no, you got to be served. The guy that dies with the most toys wins. Yeah, sure they do. But it doesn't go with them, does it? But you see, if you seek God and his kingdom first and his love and his character, and you water that seed when you accepted Christ, you're going to experience the fullness of God. You're going to experience the love of God, the peace of God, the power of God. You're going to have the purpose of God. There's going to be so much to your life. Or maybe you did already, but there's not much fruit. Why? Because you're not sowing seeds of denying yourself. Jesus said this, and we'll move on from that point, also in John chapter 12, verse 24, and he's speaking about himself first, that he would have to die in order to save us. We're the fruit that he's talking about. But he also applies that to the Christian, because deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. Follow him to death, to yourself. Jesus didn't sin, but he died to his own will. He said, Lord, Father, not my will, but your will, right, in the garden. So that was denying himself, you see. He wanted to accomplish what God sent him to do, and I want to accomplish, you want to accomplish what God has created you to do, to win souls, eternity, to love, to grow, to have an abundant life. That's his will for you and me. But a lot of distractions, a lot of seed of the world that comes in our head. And guess what? You might say, well, I'm not planting bad seed. Do you know the seed of not doing nothing is the seed of drifting? You're moving in a direction when you're not putting the right seed of God in your heart and mind. Well, I'm not being bad either, but you're drifting, you see? Time doesn't wait for no man. So he said, truly, truly, I say to you, John 12, 24, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and it dies, it remains alone. He's speaking of himself. But if it dies, and he did, it bears much fruit. That's our salvation. He died for us so that we can be saved, so that your sins can be paid in full. I love that. Paid in full. And then he goes on to bring that into your life and my life. Now, he who loves his life loses it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. So what does it mean to hate your life? Is this being morbid? God wants me to hate. Oh, I hate me. I hate me. I hate me. No, that's not. Hate your life living for the world. Hate your life of being self-centered. Hate your life of being selfish and just looking out for me, myself, and I. Hate that part of you. Hate that part of you that the world tells you you could lie and get away with it, as Pastor Richie mentioned, how, you know, from 10 years ago, 5 years ago, everything is coming to the light. They lie to get their kids into college, pay big bucks. And then there's the sex scandals that people coming forward after 10, 20 years or whatever. With today's technology, today's DNA, it's good, but even that is, the world will never be accountable to itself as God. The world will always find a way to get around it, but you can never find a way to get around God. So Jesus said, don't hate your life in terms of beating yourself up, but hate the sin in your life. Hate living for self. You know, people go to psychiatrists, and you got a very poor self-image of yourself, and that's why you're depressed. You know what my thoughts are? You think too much of yourself, and you're not meeting your standards. You're not meeting your ideals, or you're comparing yourself to others, and that's why you're depressed. You love yourself too much. But if you don't love you, hey, I don't care. I'm not in it to meet someone's standard. I don't have an idealistic picture of one day I'm going to be perfect in this world. But when you have that measurement, it's really that you love yourself too much. What's the world doing today with all the selfies? People find their acceptance by how many likes they get. They put a picture or a self up there and, oh, I got only 2 likes. Oh, you know. And they get all depressed. Oh, but you got 1,000. Hey, look what I got. You're bragging. You're showing. You see, if you base your life on that, you're loving your life too much. Just say, hey, God, what difference does that make? You love me. I'm accepted in the beloved. My sins are forgiven. I'm free. Doesn't matter how much money you got or how good you look or how bad you look or none of that matters. God is not impressed. But we compare ourselves with others, and the Bible says that's not wise. Your value, my value, is being accepted by Christ. And if Christ accepts us, who cares? People might say, all right, we want a new pastor. You're out of here. Okay. You move on. Because God loves me. And that's all I need to know. So don't hold on to your life. Sow seeds of dying to self. We're coming to an end here. Listen to this. This is so important. You ready for this? Raise your hand if you're ready. This is so important. Listen to this. In Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6, they just came out of Babylonian captivity. Jerusalem was flat. It was razed. There's no more temple. There's no more houses. Burned down. They were in captivity for 7 years. They lost their families, their friends, their houses, their temple. They lost everything. And after 70 years, they were released from Babylon, which is a 700-mile journey, to go back to this place called Jerusalem that was home at one time. You read that whole psalm. I'll just read this part of it. It says in verse 5 and 6, those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. And he who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing in his sheaves or his fruit with him. What does that mean is they're broken. They're weeping, but they're planting seeds again. We're going to start all over again. You see, when you're broken, plant seeds. When it seems like, God, I'm broken. I have nothing. You're weeping. Blessed are those who mourn. Jesus said. Blessed are those who are hungry. They'll be satisfied. But sow the seeds. When I'm humbled or when you're humbled, you can either get depressed over it or you could say, I'm still going to sow seeds. I'm going to sow seeds of prayer. I'm going to pray for someone. And you're weeping. I'm going to pray for someone. I can't even pray for myself. My whole house, my whole life is destroyed. Sow your seeds when you're broken, and you will reap a harvest. Can I get an amen? Because we barely sow seeds when we're not feeling hurt. It's when we're feeling hurt and broken that we plant seeds. Jesus said, he who this stone falls on, meaning himself, will be broken. Good. But he who trips over this stone, who doesn't accept Christ, will be scattered. It's good to be broken, church. I'm not saying it's not painful, and I'm not saying I want it, but I know this, there's a principle. Sow your seeds when you're hurting, and watch the fruit that comes out of your life. Coming to an end. Do you know seeds take a little time to grow? Be patient. Sow the seeds and don't look for a tree to grow overnight. Don't look for a fruit tree to grow overnight. Plant your seeds, water it, persevere. In Mark 4:26, it says, he was saying, that is Jesus, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed. What's the seed? If it's obedience, it's faith, it's denying yourself for Jesus. He scattered that seed that's on his heart upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and it grows. How? He himself does not know. The soil produces the crop by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain. You see the progression. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So he's saying here, just cast your seed. Let God do the growing. A seed doesn't... Or a tree doesn't grow. It grows naturally. The DNA of God's word is in his seed, and it will grow into who he is. Just water it, plant it in your heart by faith. Don't wait for your feelings. If you're hurting, plant seed. If you're feeling good, plant seed. It will grow, but give it time. Lastly, turn with me to Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Hosea, in the Old Testament, chapter 10, verse 12. Again, sow. It comes after its own kind. Sow with a view of righteousness. This is going to come back to me. I'm going to show prayer to somebody because it's going to come back to me. Righteousness. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm sowing that seed of doing the right thing in honesty. That's my view. And you will reap in accordance or according to kindness or mercy. You will reap that. And then he gives this exhortation because he's speaking to Israel who was backslidden. Break up the hard ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you. Break up the fallow ground, the hard ground. How do you do that? You choose to do it. What is it that's hard in your heart towards God? Break it up. Don't look to, I don't want to look embarrassed. Don't please man. What is God saying to us today? Seek the Lord until it rains righteousness, until he meets you, and he will meet you. But you have to take the first step. Plant the seed of honesty, of humility. All of our life before you came to Christ, we sowed to the wind, and we reaped the whirlwind. All of our lives, we were sowing seeds of the world in our lives, selfishness, self-centeredness, and we became addicted. We became cynical. We become selfish and self-centered. We become miserable. Our life is shrinking, shrinking, shrinking. There's no more abundance of love and joy and freedom. And it's shrinking because we're sowing seeds to our self-centeredness, our flesh, and not to God. Today is the day that you break the fallow ground and you make a step of commitment to the Lord and you say, God, it's you first. I don't care about anyone else. I'm putting you first. I don't care what the consequences are. I don't care what people think of me. It's you that I love. The worship team is going to come up. And as they sing that song, this is my desire. I want you to meditate on those words because God is speaking to us today. I believe that. And with every head bowed, please, everyone just hold steady for a moment and be praying because God wills that none should perish. That's the first business that we have to take care of. Are you saved? Do you know your sins are forgiven? Do you believe Jesus Christ as the Son of God who died on the cross for your sins and my sins and he rose from the dead and he's coming back again? If you believe that you're a sinner and you know you're a sinner and you do believe Jesus is a gift and you want eternal life as a gift, not because you're perfect or you plan to be perfect, but you're just accepting his free gift. And he's saying, here you go, child. Do you believe I'm going to give you the gift of eternal life, forgiveness of sin? That's the seed of Jesus Christ. If that is you and you want your sin forgiven and you want Christ in your heart, please just say that's me and have that boldness and say, that's me. Raise your hand. Just say, yes, I want it. Amen. God bless. God bless. God bless. Hold it up. Hold it up. I want to ask you to do something more than that. I'm going to ask you, I don't give a hoot, say, I'm going to stand up. I want you to stand up for the Lord and just say, I want Jesus. And I want you to pray this prayer with me because I'll tell you why. When you are ashamed of him, he says, I will be ashamed of you. You see, he makes the first step because he knows our hearts. He knows that we'll chicken out. He knows when the pressure comes. So he deals with the pressure right away. When he called disciples, he didn't say, okay, guys, stay home and make a decision. He said, no, follow me now. And they had to stand up for the Lord. And when you stand up for the Lord, wow, you're on the right path. Pray this prayer with me and pray it out loud. Say, Father, I believe in Jesus, that he came to die for my sins. And only he could because he is God and he is man. Forgive me of my sins, Jesus. I accept your gift of total forgiveness. I receive your seed, Jesus, in my heart. Now water it every day, Lord. Help me to plant seeds of righteousness, of holiness. And in your name I pray, in Jesus' name we say, amen.